Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, May the 22nd, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. The DOJ bows to Trump demands, at least in part. Also on the rundown, the latest Supreme Court ruling deemed a blow to workers' rights, plus a solar program backed by popular demand. Topping our news under pressure from President Trump, Political Reports, top Justice Department officials have agreed to review highly classified information with congressional leaders connected to the FBI investigation of Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. Politico notes the decision to share the information came after Trump met at the White House with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and FBI Director Christopher Wray. Trump asked him to turn over to Congress and his own legal team all of the memos they have about an FBI informant who made contact with his 2016 campaign. Civil rights advocates say a Supreme Court ruling handed down Monday will sweep many discrimination and harassment claims against employers under the rug.
The ruling in Epic Systems versus Lewis says corporations can require employees to sign arbitration clauses that keep them from joining class action lawsuits over wage and civil rights violations, including discrimination and sexual harassment. Seema Nanda, executive vice president of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, says the ruling is particularly troubling in light of the Me Too movement.
We know that when women are able to band together and bring an action against their employer, they have strength. It's very difficult for employees to go through these things one by one, and arbitration is just not as strong a forum as the courts are.
Supporters of arbitration say it is cheaper and more efficient than litigation through the courts. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
The Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights joined in an amicus brief with the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund. It is primary day in the state of Kentucky. Advocates for older adults are encouraging all registered voters to make their voices heard. More on the story from Mary Sherman.
The Secretary of State's office is projecting a 30% turnout today, 3.3 million people, which would be the highest voter participation in a primary election since 2010. ARP Kentucky State President Charlotte Whitaker says it's especially important for those ages 50-plus to cast a ballot.
Our future depends on our vote. Medicare, Social Security, financial planning, and caregiving are main issues that we all have concerns about. And the eyes of Kentucky are going to be on Washington because of a lot of congressional elections in the primary.
AARP's Be the Difference Vote campaigns working nationwide to get the largest possible turnout of voters age 50 and older to the polls during both the primaries and in the November general election. Whitaker says a nonpartisan campaign offers information on where politicians stand on the issues so they can be held accountable.
Polls will be open till 6 tonight. Information on polling locations available at govoteky.com. Governor Jerry Brown's proposal to establish an entirely online California community college set for a vote at a subcommittee in the state Senate on Wednesday. Suzanne Potter reports that many instructors are wary of the idea.
The governor wants to spend $120 million now and $20 million each year thereafter for an online community college that would target people who have no post-secondary education. But Wind Kaufman, who teaches in-person and online engineering courses at the City College of San Francisco, thinks working adults who go back to school need the support of a campus community and worries that an all-online approach could lead to more dropouts.
I can't think of anything more wrong-headed. It's duplicating efforts that are actually better placed to serve the students. I think the best way to go is to fund the programs and the wraparound services that will ensure their success at their local community colleges.
The governor says he hopes a new online community college would fit better into students' busy lives and entice the 2.5 million adults aged 25 to 34 in this state who have a high school diploma but nothing more. However, some educators worry that it would simply drain students away from existing community college programs. If the subcommittee votes the proposal down, the online college becomes a conference item between the California Senate and Assembly. If it does pass, it goes to a separate vote of the full budget committees of both houses.
And finally, Eric Tegenoff reports a program to help folks in Idaho install rooftop solar is back just in time for the summer sun.
The Snake River Alliance's Solarize the Valley project is heading into its third straight year of helping homeowners bring the power of the sun to their residences. After year two, the Alliance wasn't sure if the program would come back. Wendy Wilson, head of the Alliance, says she thought the program may have saturated the market, but that wasn't the case.
Basically, Solarize the Valley is backed by popular demand. People wanted to have another opportunity to put rooftop solar. Solar is still growing in Idaho, and that's because prices are as low as they're going to be for a while.
Solar power might be facing other potential setbacks in Idaho. The state's Public Utility Commission approved Idaho Power's proposal to put net metering customers, people who generate their own electricity, into a different rate class. However, the PUC hasn't decided what this means for rooftop solar customers. Federal tax incentives still are available, but face an uncertain future. Solarize the Valley has helped more than 100 homes and businesses install solar panels. It will have a kickoff workshop on Wednesday at the Alt Energy office in Garden City. People can sign up online for a free assessment.
The goal is to get 300 people to sign up for free assessments and 30 people to install solar panels this year. I'm Mike Clifford, and you've been newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We're member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.